to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And for those of you watching over Justin TV, the very gorgeous woman sitting here in the back of the world's smallest radio studio is my lovely wife, Claire, also co-poster to WhatReallyHappened.com, composer extraordinaire, choral mistress, bunch of other hats she likes to wear here. So welcome, and thank you for joining us today on this Friday afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me in the studio again, Mike, and aloha, America. I have had so many palm-to-forehead moments listening to what has been spewing from both sides of the aisle over what's going on in the Middle East. It's a miracle I'm not bruised black and blue. It's almost as though this country's government can never take responsibility when it's messed up and continues. And it's the classic definition of insanity. It continues to do the same thing over and over and over again in the Middle East and yet expect a totally different outcome. Mike, would you agree with me on that?
Well, I would agree, except that generally, as a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting because Russia included that very concept in their concerns over how the U.S. is handling this present situation, that because our elected officials tend to think only in terms of the time span to the next election, they'll carry out some kind of an action that achieves an immediate goal, and then they don't care what's going to happen after that because it's not their problem any longer. It's going to be some other administration's problem. And that infects our foreign policy decisions. It infects our economic and financial decisions. Everybody's just trying to do what works for them right here and now, and they're just institutionally blind to what the long-term consequences might be. And this gets us into this situation where the United States created Al-Qaeda. During the Afghanistan, you know, opposition to the Soviet Union, they created Al-Qaeda to sort of obscure U.S. involvement in that situation. They brought in all these different captured Soviet weapons, and they gave them to the Mujahideen and basically kicked the Soviet Union out. And then they dropped the ball, and they said, we're done with Afghanistan. And so the area went into turmoil and chaos. And now Al-Qaeda has become this synonymous with evil, and yet at the same time they seem to still be working for the U.S. government, certainly within Libya and Syria. And so we don't know what the reality is, but a lot of people are saying we're seeing all this trouble in all these countries that we went in for a short-term gain, and then we don't know how to deal with the backlash. And I can't think of a better example of that, of course, than what happened in Iran, where in 1953 the CIA went in, overthrew the democratically elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh, installed the Shah so that they could get Iran's oil at very, very low prices for British and American oil companies. And also Israel was just getting a really sweet deal. They were getting their oil almost for free along that pipeline and just impoverished the Iranian people until in 1979 the Iranian people rose up, kicked out the Shah, put in their own government. And now, of course, everybody's saying, oh, they're a threat. They're evil. They're dangerous. And the United States tried to get Saddam Hussein to invade Iran. That didn't work out. Two and a half, 3 years ago, they tried to overthrow Iran from within. That didn't work out. And now here we are on the verge of saying, we've got to go into Iran because they kind of maybe might sort of ought to think about getting a nuclear weapon. And people aren't buying that one because of the whopper about Iraq's nuclear weapon. And so now we're here to just say, we've got to go into Iran because it's the core of this whole Islamic opposition to the United States of America. Well, the Islamic opposition to the United States of America is built on decades of the United States intruding into Islamic nations for the benefit of Israel, for the benefit of U.S. corporations, to bring them the joys of private central banking, which they are opposed to on religious grounds. And so when the backlash hits the U.S. government, they say, oh, they hate us for our freedoms or some other such nonsense. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And hello, America. Welcome back to the show. I want to read you a direct quote from the British press. And you're not going to get this in the American media. I guarantee you this. Quote, according to senior diplomatic sources, the U.S. State Department had credible information 48 hours before mobs charged the consulate in Benghazi and the embassy in Cairo that American missions might be targeted. But no warnings were given for diplomats to go on high alert and lockdown, under which movement is severely restricted. End quote. The State Department, Hillary Clinton, knew this was going to happen 48 hours before it happened. And warnings were not given. Shades of Roosevelt and the Hawaii commanders at Pearl Harbor.
Absolutely.
And remember, we found out that the Marines that were there to basically, I guess, hold the doors open at the consulate were not allowed to carry live ammunition. And even after this apparent 48-hour, you know, early alert, nobody told them to load their guns.
It reeks of setup.
It is. It's an absolute setup.
Yeah.
And, of course, you wanted to talk about Hillary's comment regarding this whole situation.
Ah, yes. This was another palm to forehead moment very rapidly. She said, how could the Libyan people have done that? We liberated them. And I have never in this lifetime heard a more Orwellian characterization of the word liberated. We assassinated their head of state. We invaded them. We hit people with depleted uranium, and which we found out in Iraq is not really good for people or babies. Or,
no, they knew it before then. They just didn't really care here.
Yeah.
And again, like I said earlier in the show, I mean, Hitler invaded the Sudetenland claiming they were going to liberate them as well. The only thing the Libyan people were liberated from was their state bank and value-based currency. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their natural resources, and a lot of them, you know, were liberated from their lives
right. And
from various important parts of their body. It should be very obvious to anybody maintaining a sense of objectivity that the fury we are seeing in Libya right now should tell us that the ordinary general population of Libya did not want to be liberated by the United States of America. The only people who benefited from the U.S. invasion was this installed puppet government.
Mm-hmm. And the new central bank.
And the new private central bank, and
right. The
oil companies are going to mm-hmm. go on in and grab the rest of it, and it's just amazing. It's like the White House press secretary earlier today was up there saying all of this anger and upset. It's all about this video, and it just could never ever possibly be any anger or rejection of the United States and its U.S. foreign policy.
You know, and the United States has acted in the Middle East tremendously irresponsibly. And again, they can't seem to learn. They seem pathologically incapable of learning from past history. Because ultimately, when you support a tin pot dictator, and you can throw weapons at him, you can throw training at him or her, ultimately, the people are going to say enough. And then what happens is you find the country in a situation of unrest, revolt, and revolution, and now it is headed by a virulently anti-American government. And the people in this country and in this country's leadership do not recognize, and I think our late President Kennedy said it most elegantly and succinctly, if peaceful revolution is impossible, violent revolution is inevitable. And we see that now in so many places in the Middle East. There are reports of unrest in eastern Saudi Arabia. And, of course, Saudi Arabian oil coming off the market at the same time, if there is an invasion of Iran, would not necessarily be a good thing.
Even the U.S. Strategic Reserve could not cover that shortfall.
Yeah.
I want to go back to our White House press secretary and to Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they made those statements at all, I think, betrays the fact they still believe that they live in a nation where whatever the government says and the media parrots will be accepted by the American people. And I think to an extent the fact that they made such obviously absurd statements should tell us all they are so out of touch with what's going on Main Street USA. Because this is the kind of stuff we heard at the height of the Cold War. And the American people believed it because we still trusted our government. We were very naive. We thought the media was always going to be telling us the truth. We know differently now. And obviously, for Hillary to make that statement, for the White House press secretary to make that statement, I think it betrays an institutional blindness. They really still think the American people are that naive and stupid, trusting, gullible, and we're not. And that's why I think they're not getting the traction that they're trying to get on this situation. My concern, of course, is that just as we saw attacks on embassies preceding 9/11, I think this current round of embassy attacks, plus all of these phone calls to American schools saying there's a bomb on board, a bomb on the campus, bomb in your nuclear reactor at the University of Texas, I think it's a prequel to a run-up to a potential new false flag that's going to be so big and so horrible that it will shock the American people into just saluting the flag and blindly throwing their children onto the bayonets of the Iranians. I hope I'm wrong, and the more we talk about it, the more we can create a climate of doubt, which may give the perpetrators pause, but it looks to me like the decision has been made to, by hook or by crook, you know, remotivate America into war on Israel's enemies, and I'm very, very concerned that we're going to see a really big bang in the immediate future to get us to go into Iran.
Well, at the moment, should any government agent knock on my door and tell me it was sunny outside, I would have to literally walk out that door and validate for myself.
Not while that agent's still there, man. They'll take your jewelry and your wallet, you know? Come on. let's get real here.
But you know what I mean.
Slam the door in his face and say, the heck with you.
But the other thing that we need to be paying some attention...
Get the blunderbuss.
The other thing we need to be paying attention to, Mike, is a very large demining naval exercise going on
yes.
in the Persian Gulf. There are a number of U.S., I believe, four U.S. carrier groups. Yeah, plus those of allies, and it's supposed to be a demining exercise. And I would like to hope, and in my case, pray, that all of these people have their wits about them, because the potential for something being misunderstood, as I doubt many of our naval servicemen do not speak Farsi, there is a real potential for an accident, for something stupid to happen, which could provoke
or
an Iranian
a deliberate
problem.
False flag attack. And I want
yeah.
to spend a little time talking about that, because we know that Israel's history is filled with false flag attacks. The bombing of the King David Hotel by Israelis dressed as Arabs, the attack on the USS Liberty, initially blamed on Egypt until the Liberty crew got a radio message out that Israel was attacking them, the Levant affair, the USS Cole, obviously 9/11, the attack on the World Trade Towers. Israel lives by the false flag attacks. So if what we're seeing with these staged embassy attacks in Cairo and Benghazi, this silly little video that they're trying to blame it all on, if that is the run-up to a new false flag attack, where and what might it be? Now, obviously, if a nuclear weapon is involved, that is going to allow Israel to say, see, we told you Iran had a nuclear bomb. So there are two areas where that might be employed. I think a lot of people are very aware right now that Israel has these Dolphin-class submarines, diesel-electric, very quiet submarines, that were given to her by Germany in war reparations. Germany has acknowledged recently that they've been aware for some years now that Israel has nuclear-tipped cruise missiles on those Dolphin submarines. So one possible scenario would be for Israel to sail their Dolphin-class submarines down the Suez Canal, go over to the Gulf, sneak up along the coastline of Iran, and flip one of these cruise missiles at, for example, the USS Enterprise, which is a very old carrier. This is its last deployment. It's scheduled for decommissioning end of this year, and it's going to be very, very expensive to scrap it, because it's got 8 nuclear reactors inside, all of which have to be dismantled and disposed of as nuclear waste. It's going to cost more to scrap the Enterprise than the scrap value of the steel. So if it were to be sunk over there in the Middle East, it's somebody else's problem, and the Navy can save a lot of money. That's one possible scenario. We also know that Israel acquired their first round of weapons-grade fissionables right here in the United States of America. There were two scandals. There was the Nume scandal, and then there was a huge material unaccounted-for scandal at the Savannah River plant. Well, there's no reason to assume that Israel took all of that weapons-grade uranium back to Israel. Obviously, they took some of it. Their first-generation weapons were built with it. But it would have been very, very easy for Israel to keep enough of the weapons-grade uranium here in the United States of America and fashion a bomb around it, because the uranium-type nuclear bomb is very easy to build. It's a pipe with two pieces of weapons-grade uranium each end that are less than the critical mass, explosives to drive them together, it goes boom. It's very, very simple and easy to build. So we know that when the Nuclear Emergency Search Team, NEST, was running its baseline map over New York in order to speed a search for a potential terrorist nuclear weapon, they found a great deal of radioactivity coming out of Israel's New York consulate. Israel obviously will not allow an inspection or explain what is there. So the idea is Israel might well already have a clandestine nuclear weapon along the lines of what they were trying to sell to South Africa here in the United States of America. And they could set off someplace to say, Iran has attacked you with a nuclear weapon. And this would not only obviously enrage America to go to war against Israel's enemies yet again, but it would provide political leverage to deter Russia and China from coming to Iran's aid, because all of a sudden the war is all Iran's fault. We were willing to go back to the peace talks one more time here, but Iran attacked us. You shouldn't support them. So forth and so on. So there's a huge motivation and much to be gained by Israel for a nuclear false flag here in the United States of America, because more planes into skyscrapers isn't going to rattle anybody. Been there, done that. The next false flag has to be huge. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn. But our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And Claire, what's the next thing on your mind?
Well, I'm thinking that one of the other very valid reasons for anger on the Arab street is the U.S. being so completely in lockstep with Israel that it is making no real efforts or providing no real pressure in terms of creating a viable Palestinian state that would live side by side peacefully with Israel.
Well, it's not just Palestine here, because originally the U.S. helped create Israel and put it into the Middle East, and when Israel was running around with this attitude, we have a right to exist, but you don't, it created a tremendous amount of friction. And the U.S. used that friction to insert itself onto the ground all across the Middle East in order to keep the peace.
Right.
And it portrayed itself back then as an unbiased arbiter between Israel and those other Arab nations. But following 9/11, we saw the United States completely come under the control of Israel to an unprecedented degree, and Israel's demands of the U.S. became more strident and more arrogant, which is one of the reasons I think Israel has been blackmailing the U.S. government with 9/11 over that time, to the point where nobody in the world sees the United States as an unbiased negotiator between Israel and the rest of the Middle East. They see us as Israel's enabler, certainly the armorer. The American taxpayer spends more on Israel's defense than the Israeli taxpayers do. And it's just a huge outpouring of material, money, manpower, just, you know, at a time when our schools are closing and our teachers are being laid off, to just keep on showering all of this money all over Israel when our nation cannot afford it.
Absolutely. And, of course, there is always the consistent impact and influence of AIPAC.
Yeah,
well, Congress.
Absolutely, without question. We saw it when Cynthia McKinney dared speak out about the complete unfairness of this situation between Israel and Palestine. AIPAC came in and found a candidate to run against her, and just tons of money poured in, including from outside the district. And for a congressional representative, that should be absolutely illegal. They should raise their campaign funds from people living within the district in which they're going to represent. The same thing with senators, should never be allowed to accept out-of-state money. Unfortunately, in our country right now, we're in this situation where campaign donations by citizens are severely capped, but because of the Citizens United decision, corporations can spend freely for any agenda. And a lot of that money that Mitt Romney picked up when he was over there, I mean, the candidate for president of the United States of America is over in Israel getting campaign donations. They still won't release where they all came from. Romney's attitude is that Citizens United allows corporations all around the world to donate to his campaign. That was ruled on by the United States Supreme Court in January. No, it does not. Romney's already in felony violation of American campaign laws, and nobody's going to do anything about it. The media won't report on it. We know that 25 years ago, the United States Senate investigated and found out that Israel was routinely bribing the American corporate media to report the news to the American people in a way that always favored Israel. What did the U.S. Senate do when they found out the American corporate media was being subverted like this? They classified the report. It was only declassified a year ago, showing that even the U.S. Senate is completely compromised by this foreign power. Washington, D.C. is a Vichy government. It's an occupation government occupying the United States for the benefit of a foreign power, and it is time for it to vanish into the pages of history.
Absolutely. And the other issue that absolutely boggles my mind, it is a known fact that Israel has nuclear weapons. It's bristling with nuclear weapons. And yet, under the Symington Amendment, the United States government is prohibited from giving any monetary or financial aid to any country on the planet that does have nuclear weapons but won't allow inspections. So it appears to me that every single cent that has been sent to Israel since it became a nuclear power should
come back.
Or since
the Symington Amendment. Yeah, I want a refund, plus accruing interest here.
Yes, definitely.
That's also covered in the Glenn Act, and it's that's the reason for the official policy of nuclear ambiguity maintained by Israel and the United States of America, so that all of your elected politicians can get up there and in between proclaiming what a wonderful friend of Israel they are, they can say, maybe Israel has nuclear weapons and maybe they don't. But as long as we don't know, we're not in violation of U.S. law regarding looting the American people and sending the money to Israel. It's
but just scam from top to bottom. The problem is the American people know. I mean, no less a personage than Ehud Olmert in an interview with German TV said yes, that they had nuclear weapons, as well did Jimmy Carter. You know, he pulled absolutely no punches. And so if the former Israeli prime minister has made that statement and a former American president has made that statement, are they both lying? I don't think so.
No, I mean, there's tons of evidence to support this. I mean, we had Mordecai Vanunu, who smuggled pictures of the plutonium bomb factory under Dimona. They were published in the British press. We have the new government of South Africa, when they were going through the paperwork from the former government of South Africa, they found the deal memos where Israel was trying to sell a clandestine nuclear weapon to the South African government, which, by the way, is the very activity the Non-Proliferation Treaty is supposed to be preventing. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, Germany was acknowledging they have known for years that Israel has nuclear-tipped cruise missiles on those Dolphin submarines. So it's just a big, gigantic lie that Israel doesn't have nuclear weapons in order to take more money from you, and so Israel can go on saying, we're helpless, we're victims, you must send your children to fight our enemies for us. We'll be back after these commercials.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered Ion and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial-size mini bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now. You can also look for our free trial offer ad at republicbroadcasting.org. RNA drops.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Working two jobs ends never seen me. She often goes hungry, so her babies can't eat. The fatherless son wears torn clothes to school.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And Claire, you had a comment about what's going on in Bahrain.
Yes, I do. And if anyone in Washington had any degree of a conscience, and I'm beginning to think those who achieve high power have had conscience surgically removed.
I don't think they were ever born with it. They're sociopaths.
I think you may be right, dear. But the situation should be horrendously embarrassing for the United States government, and here's why. Bahrain is ruled by a Sunni monarchy. The vast majority of their subjects are Shia, and these subjects are agitating, if you will, peacefully, and protesting for a greater expansion of human rights, civil liberties, and all this has been met with brutal suppression. And I mean suppression to the point where the doctors and nurses who were treating people who got hit and attacked by the police were charged with criminal charges. And the high court has upheld those charges. Now, I understand that Bahrain is the home to the U.S. Fifth Fleet. But if
they're our good buddies, so we've got to support them, no matter what, you know.
Yeah, you know, and it is another very clear demonstration that when democracy and human rights don't get in the way of quote-unquote business as usual, they are tolerated both here and overseas. If they start to look like they're going to get in the way of business as usual, they are suppressed, sometimes with lethal suppression.
Well, you know, this goes back to that lame comment that Hillary was making about how can this happen in Libya? We liberated those people. And the whole justification for going into Libya was those people were struggling against a tyrannical government. And yet over in Bahrain, you have exactly that situation mm-hmm. the U.S. used as justification for invading Libya. But the U.S. isn't going to do anything about Bahrain because Bahrain's government does what the U.S. government tells them to do. Mm-hmm. They're davening to Tel Aviv appropriately. They're doing as they're told. They're a U.S. puppet regime. And mm-hmm. just like when the U.S. was backing the Shah and the Savak, or backing Pinochet in Chile, it doesn't matter how bad the dictator is to his own people. As long as he's supporting U.S. policies, he's our buddy, and he'll get money and weapons and so forth and so on. And, the only reason they went into Libya, Gaddafi wasn't oppressing his people. In fact, you know, the living standard was on the way up there in Libya. Gaddafi started talking about a state bank and a value-based currency, the gold dinar, and that made him the enemy of the privately owned Federal Reserve System. And every one of these countries the U.S. has invaded had banking systems that were considered a threat to the global dominance of private central bankers. And that's what it's really all about. It's a war between banking systems. And it goes all the way back to the American Revolution. When the American colonies were printing their own money, the governments were issuing the currency into circulation, and it circulated around fueling commerce without accruing interest to a private banker. And the Bank of England got word of that, and they had King George III pass the Currency Act. And if you go back and you read the writings of Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, you find out it was that Currency Act and the resulting massive poverty and unemployment that it created that was the real cause of the revolution. Of course, once the Congress and President of 1913 sold us back into the slavery of that exact same style of banking, our public schools stopped talking about the Currency Act, and we got to hear these little fairy tales about Tea Act, you know, Boston Tea Party and Stamp Act and all this other nonsensical stuff, mm-hmm. and they don't teach our kids the real reason for the American Revolution, because the smart kids would stand up and say, wait a minute, why are we back in that same kind of banking system today? And that's a question, obviously, the government does not want the public schools to try and answer.
Yes, and speaking of education, I was reading a report today that barely a quarter of our high schoolers can use language appropriate for communication and for business. And I've noticed also that we have become a very innumerate society, and that is dangerous, because when you don't have critical thinking, when you can't figure, and when you can't look at things logically, it gives the government the ability to tell you anything it wants to tell you without you being able to sit down and think, okay, what's wrong with this picture?
Well, I understand the reason for the decline in language, because language is the map around which your thought processes form in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, certainly in Europe's schools, students are strongly encouraged to learn more than one language, because mm-hmm. it gives you additional maps with which to organize your thoughts. But if you have a school system which is not encouraging sophisticated language skills, what they're doing indirectly is discouraging sophisticated thinking. And you get down to this sort of image of monosyllabic brutes unable to comprehend, and that's the deliberate dumbing down of America. The U.S. government doesn't want a population of critical analytical thinkers. They want a population of obedient workers who are just smart enough to know how to follow instructions and fill out the tax forms and pay their bills. And they don't want the people able to stand up and seriously think about what's going on.
I would say that that's a very accurate assessment. A lot of the people I know have gone to a concept of homeschooling, which can be very helpful. And what I have seen, at least in studies, is that getting into colleges has been easier, and these kids are placing a lot higher in any test they have to take to get into any college than people who are schooled by public schools.
Well, it's kind of interesting because at the same time these numbers are coming out where homeschool kids are doing much better academically, you're seeing more and more state governments trying to pass laws limiting homeschooling. I forget what state it was, passed a law saying you couldn't homeschool your child unless you were a certified teacher and following the approved curriculum. And it is. Plus, of course, going back to the 1990s and the feminist revolution, where women were encouraged to leave the home, stop being a parent, get a two-income home, and the children were left completely dependent on public schooling and TV for their view of the world. And that, I think, was also part of the process of delinking children from their parents to make them mentally dependent on the public schools and corporate media to decide what they're going to think about the world.
You know, I have a brother and his wife who had two girls, and they did a very smart thing when the kids were little. When they were very small, mom stayed out for a while, and as they got older, she would go back to work. She's a nurse and now a nurse practitioner. And by the time the girls were in high school, mom and the two girls were studying around the dinner table because mom was getting her master's. And I think the girls learned from that that there is a way of balancing work and family. And I remember Loretta saying something very profound to me a lot of years ago when their younger daughter was about three. She said, I think women can have it all, maybe not all at the same time, but I think women can have it all.
Well, I remember one of the reasons, I was an early supporter of the feminist movement when it was all about equal pay for equal work, equal access to education, equal access to credit. Those were all noble ideals, but then it got hijacked and perverted. And I remember one of the things that got me to start rethinking whether or not I wanted to support the movement was when they stopped talking about women should have the option of going out into the workplace, and they started to make it a social expectation. Like if a woman wanted to stay home and be with her children and just be the homemaker, that there was something wrong with her.
They were ridiculed and marginalized.
They were ridiculed in the corporate media. Mm-hmm. And what began to be a situation was feminism wasn't freeing women from artificial social expectations. They were simply swapping a new set of artificial expectations for the old one for political gain. And together with this, of course, was this constant male bashing and men are animals and we don't need them, which now we look back and realize was an attempt to condition society to be ready to throw the men away in foreign wars and not care all that much how many of them got blown to bloody bits.
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of feminism, I've always called myself an equity feminist. I'm going to score something for you, a commercial, something like that. Just pay me the same thing as you would a guy, and I'm going to be very happy, and I'm going to give you a good job at the end of the day.
Well, I think all of us supported the equity feminist movement. As Christine Hobbs Sommers, who was a feminist herself, she wrote this wonderful book, Who Stole Feminism?
And she said
there was this hideous mutation where equity feminism became gender feminism, where it became just as polarizing, as any other influence, where it set men and women against each other, constantly arguing and fighting, which is just a continuation of this ongoing government policy to keep us quarreling amongst each other so we don't unite together as a single American people and realize who is the common enemy of us all, which is government deception and the private central bank. But we've seen it before. In the 60s, it was black against the white. Remember the FBI's Black Panther coloring book stunt?
Oh, yeah.
Young against the old, rich against the poor, on and on and on and on to keep us divided and conquered. And at this point, I think we should all unite around the fact that there's really nothing we can expect from the government or the corporate media that's truthful. And if we just go along with what they're doing, we're going to be looted more by Bernanke and his new attempt to reinflate the housing bubble. And we're going to see our kids sent off to more wars on Israel's enemies unless we decide now's the time to stand up and say enough.
Department of Homeland Security of highly armored and armed to the teeth vehicles. And, of course, we all know about the purchase of the hollow point bullets, which have no place doing anything except killing people. But I would like to hope that the powers that be are getting ready for, shall we say, the wrong confrontation.
And I think so. Yeah. I think so. And this is one of the big reasons why, you know, I counsel against a violent revolution in this country, because that is the war the U.S. government is prepared to fight and to win.
Yes.
But I think if we have 300 million Americans standing up and saying we will no longer be the wallet of last resort for Wall Street's crimes and mm-hmm. foreign investments, we will not be the breeders of endless soldiers for Israel's wars, I think when that message gets out, the foreign investors are going to pull their money out of our banking system, and it'll all come crashing down. Even Bernanke's printing presses can't keep up with it. If that trillions of dollars of foreign investment that is currently in the U.S. financial system decides to leave.
Absolutely. And so I would encourage. Yes.
Finish that thought, then we have a caller on the line.
I would encourage people to work together, to think together, and let us hope that the change in government and in our society will happen as peacefully as humanly possible.
Amen to that. I still think the model that's going to happen is what happened to the Soviet Union. It reached a point where the government was so corrupt and so broke, and the Soviet citizens had come to understand everything coming out of their government was an absolute fabrication, that it all just fell apart. And they had a couple of months of confusion they needed to get through. Then they formed the Russian Republic. Putin paid off Russia's debt in 3 years, and he was able to do that same way Andrew Jackson did. Kick out the money junkies, take control of the money creation. And the Russian republics are much better off today, certainly, than they were under the Soviet Union. I think the future America is going to be a lot better off than we currently are under this fascist government and economic system we have. Art, aloha. Art, welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Howdy, Mike and Miss Claire. Good afternoon, madam. I think Mike ought to let you take the front seat and stick him back in the back.
No.
She got an offer for her own show here a while back, but it didn't work out.
I'm comfortable here. And Art, what's on your mind today?
You guys were talking about how, and I remember this growing up in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. When my mom had to go out and start a business because she couldn't find a job anywhere. Nobody would give her a job because she didn't have any skills. She just was the daughter of a sharecropper, and so she managed to start her own business, and she raised three children as a single mother, and it was a lot of work. It was tough. And
mm-hmm.
and I think part of the problem is people don't understand how we got to this point. And I, as you were talking, Mike, about mothers having being encouraged to go out and get jobs and whatnot and stop being mothers, it got me thinking about this incredible documentary I saw a while back, and I'd like to recommend it. Anybody not seen it, take a good hard look at this. It's called Cultural Marxism, The Corruption of America. And I think it does a really excellent job of explaining how this happened and how they managed to get to us from the inside. And it was directly targeting, one of the major targets was the family. You destroy the family element, and you destroy the entire culture. Thanks, Mike. I'm out.
Well, basically, when you destroy the cohesive family unit, or when you destroy mm-hmm. the cohesive community unit, everybody becomes more psychologically dependent on those rulers at the very top. That's another reason for stripping states of state rights, so that the cohesive identity as being a state starts to blur. And it's all about concentrating power at the top, and it's all psychological operations.
I do think that we need to, the best we can, to defend our families, to make it easier for both dads and moms
and
to spend more
time with kids.
And by the
way, that doesn't mean
kids.
Going out and slapping around the gays. We're talking about a different kind of defend the family.
Yeah.
We're talking
you
know, bringing the family back together and spending time with each other so that the parents can share their accrued wisdoms and insights with the children. That's a line of communication that has really been broken off right now, where we've all made the mistakes. We've all seen how corrupt and dishonest the government is.
Mm-hmm.
We should, as adults, in order to make a better world for our children, we should be telling our children, don't trust anybody in an elected office. They are all liars and crooks. And the people at the school are not paid to teach you the truth. They're paid to teach you what the government wants you to think to make you more useful workers, to make you more loyal citizens, to make you more obedient soldiers.
And to make you hate the people the government wants you to hate today.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which may be the people we're backing and supporting tomorrow, but then we've always been at war with East Asia.
absolutely. No, but I think this is really important. When you and I were at the World Choir Games in
yes.
Cincinnati, and we saw some incredible international choirs, the jaw-drop factor for me was the Experimental High School Choir from Guangdong, China.
They were amazing.
And in looking at these wonderful kids and a wonderful conductor and what they did, the work is called Pray for Rain. It may be on YouTube, I don't know. But it occurred to both Mike and me that these people are making sure that their kids have a contact with the arts. And I think arts is really important for any culture to bring forward into the next generation by exposing them, having them perform, having them be involved, having them write, having them create.
Okay, we've got to take a break for commercial, and we'll be back with our last segment.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down.
Wall Street wizards on the land, from a mental institution, claim private retirement funds. Yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, we'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash.
And aloha, America. Welcome back. Last segment of our Friday show here. Sorry for the interruption in the commercials. That darn hamster that they have in the wire wheel that powers the transmitters at Republic Broadcasting, he's been drinking on the job again, I think, here.
Feed him more broccoli.
Feed him more broccoli. One final comment about the de-emphasis of arts in this country. It is not just economic. Political scientists have observed for a very long time that as nations go more toward dictatorship, arts are de-emphasized to basically remove options for mental engagement that are not coming from the government. And you'll see the only arts that are allowed are those that support the government agenda, and the ability, the willingness or the support for people to go off and be artistic in other areas is discouraged because they're removing them from that constant stream of propaganda, and it is another hallmark of the fascist dictatorship that this nation has descended into. Claire, you had something you wanted to share with our listeners at the close of the show.
Yes, thank you, I did. Folks, as you can probably tell, our geopolitical nudges are a little bit on the high side. It is not anything specific. It's not something we know. It's just a sense we have. And again, I want to encourage and caution you to please get storable food, the ability to purify your water, any medications you need for yourself, your family, and pets. And please have a plan if the family is separated, how you will come back together again. Investing in the so-called bug out kit is a very good idea right now. And I'm hoping that cooler heads around the world are going to prevail. But if they don't, you need to have a plan and work it. And that is really critically important. Now.
Right. Survivalism isn't just buying a bunch of cool little toys to play with. It is literally a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I would anticipate if there's going to be a new false flag attack to kick off a new round of war on Israel's enemies, we will probably see the internet being severely interfered with in order to try and shut down opposing points of view. We know the FBI did this with Muslim charity websites in the weeks before 9/11. We're fully expecting it's going to happen here on the blogs and the alternative media. We have caught signs of testing going on to try and sabotage DNS in order to make certain websites like our own unreachable, and we've tried to take steps to prepare for that as well. All of this, of course, is just common sense stuff to deal with any disruption, any crisis, whether it's
right.
starting of a new escalation of the war, incoming hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake, a tsunami, whatever. Just as somebody who wants to take care of yourself and your family, you should have these basic preparations there. Water is most important. You can't survive more than 3 days without fresh water. Obviously, storable foods, first aid kit, batteries, flashlights, battery-operated radio. Almost think about like you're going on a one-week camping trip. What would you have to have in your car to support that? That's what you need to have to take care of your family in the of some kind of a serious disruption in the normal modes of commerce. And that's it for our show. The music is just now starting up, so we're going to head on out of here and do what we're going to do with the rest of our Friday. We'll be back here on Monday. Remember, Monday show 1 hour earlier in the day. Thank you all very much. Until Monday, stay safe, stay well, be very skeptical. The bovine excrement has hit the flood stage coming out of Washington, D.C. and the corporate media. So please, the skeptical people, it is a free people. Share your concerns with everybody that you know. Call your local radio stations. Ask them to carry the programming from Republic Broadcasting Network. And Aloha, America.